Hello and welcome back to That Haunted Show. I hope we're all doing well. It is another week, another episode that is hopefully coming out on time. It's been a long week, definitely for sure. But we're here. I was, really lacking some inspiration for this episode. I think we got there. I've done the research for this and I've got on my notes. I'm thinking this is going to be a pretty good one. I hope you guys enjoy it because I've definitely really enjoyed it. I'm not going to ruin it just yet, but there's a few films about it, and a series. I think there's a few other things coming out as well. We'll soon see. See if you guys can guess it. I'll give you a couple of seconds. Also, I just got like my Helix pierced, and fucking these headphones keep catching on it, and it's fucking doing my ear in. So, yeah, if you hear me screaming pain, you know why. So, like I said, I was lacking inspiration for this week's episode, so I did a little submission poll on the socials for the topic this week, and we had some amazing requests. Like, we had absolutely loads. Some I will definitely get around to doing, but this one got me hyped the most. As soon as someone said this, I knew this was the one I had to do. So don't worry, if this isn't your request, I will 100% get around to covering as many as I can. I've got them all saved, so they will be coming up in future episodes. Plus, I don't really have any intention of going anywhere, so I'll just keep them coming. Don't you guys worry. As always, though, I got to do this before the episode starts, so hopefully it'll get you guys on board to actually come around to doing it. If you could be amazing and do a review on Apple Podcasts, I would super appreciate it. I read them out, give you a little shout-out, and hey, it's fun and helps the show out a lot. And me out. That's all I ask, and I'll be super appreciative until my dying day. Sadly, I just looked and there's no more reviews this week, but you know what to do. The link is in my Instagram bio, which is a link tree. On there, there's like so many different links you can do, which takes you, there's even one that takes you directly to Apple Podcasts, and you can do it in like 30 seconds. I mean, I'm not going to pay you to do it, but I'll give you 10p. There we go, an incentive. 10 whole p. Now, with inflation and currencies around the world, you might get like 12p. Who fucking knows? But yes, it would be amazing if you could. And also, we're on YouTube now. I'm uploading like my whole backlog of episodes. So if you want to go and subscribe to the YouTube, that is in my link tree as well. We've got a few views on there already. And yeah, I kind of posted about this the other day when I tried to be a gaming YouTuber. Ghosts and gaming is kind of like my thing. And yeah, the gaming YouTube fucking sucked. I've got more subscribers now in like a day than I did after like 6 months of doing the gaming channel. I'm not going to say what the channel's name is. I think I've taken all the videos down anyway, but it was fucking awful. It was so bad. But yes, I'm getting PTSD editing again and doing videos. Like, they're just basic videos, just like animations of my old episodes. So don't get too excited. But I do want to do some kind of quirky visual features as well as just doing the show, the podcast. So hopefully you guys kind of dig it. And maybe I might do like some actual video recordings of me recording a show. We'll see how it goes because I used to have like Sony Vegas Pro and it cost me a fortune. And I got like 10 views. And I was like, yes, this is it. This is what I'm doing. And yeah, it was shit. I hated it. So editing just audio now for the podcast is so much better, and I'm so much more comfortable behind a mic than actual visuals, so yeah, it's a lot better for me. Anyway, rambling on, like I promised, I got to give a massive thank you to the follower that dropped this suggestion to me, and well, funnily enough, it's another podcast, so I'm just saying, you should definitely check them out. You may have seen them around, the Foulmouth Nerds. Thank you guys again, you're fucking awesome. This topic, if you follow the socials, is, of course, La Llorona. I hope I pronounced that correctly. I actually looked. So without any further ado, let's dive into it, shall we? Grab a drink, sit back and relax, and let's get spooky. So La Llorona originate. Let me double check the pronunciation. because I'm going to fucking keep saying this wrong. How to pronounce La Llorona? Right. One sec. Let me just hear this. La Llorona. Okay. La Llorona. Right, I got this. We're back on track. So, La Llorona originated in Latin America and can otherwise be known as the Weeping Woman or simply the Wailer. Nice. And to simplify even more, before we dive into the whole history of it, she is a spirit, a ghost, who is known to roam waterfront areas mourning the loss of her drowned children. Generations of Mexican children have grown up with the tale of La Llorona, a harrowing tale, and I mean, it even scares me to be honest, let alone little kids. Her origin dates back hundreds of years, and well, recently it's grown a lot in popularity, kind of due to the movie that came out, The Curse of La Llorona, as well as, I believe, a new series that has come out on Shudder that I really need to get around to watching. I recently just got Shudder and I'm digging it. Some movies on there are a bit like B-movies at best, and I know there's a certain niche for like B-movies, but some of them, man, they're fucking terrible. But you do find a few little hidden gems in there, and they're pretty badass. Like, I recently watched, I think it was called The Mortuary Tales or Mortuary Stories or some shit, which was really cool. If you haven't seen that, I'd definitely recommend. I'm not really a fan of, like, horror and comedy together. Separately, yeah, I dig it, but yeah, I'm not a big fan. But these guys actually nailed it, and it was spot on. You should definitely check it out. Anyway, the curse of La Llorona is still around today in a big way. There is even a case of a Mexican woman named Joanna Lea who attempted to kill her 7 children by throwing them into Buffalo Bayou in Houston, Texas in 1986. She was a victim of domestic violence and was apparently trying to end her suffering and that of her own children, 2 of whom had died. During an interview Joanna did, she believed that she was La Llorona, or at least possessed by her spirit. I also found this out online too from a few sources, and I wouldn't recommend trying it, but it sounds pretty interesting. And if you're feeling lonely, or you know, you want to summon, or you know, you want to summon a child murdering spirit covered in a veil, well, you know what to do. You can light yourself some red candles. Ooh, nice. Stick some Barry White on. Fucking get the rose petals on the bed, you know what's good. And whose walls are decorated in mirrors and repeating her name. Well, it sounds just charming, doesn't it? I'm getting serious Bloody Mary vibes for it, and you know what? I'm kind of for it. Also, if your kids are being little shits, it's said she's likely to appear when children are misbehaving. Dude, when I finally have kids, I'm going to scare the shit out of them about La Llorona. Like, if you don't behave, this veiled woman is going to come and take you away with her other drowned children. Fuck. I'm going to cost my kid $1 million in therapy fees. Fuck. There have been many reported sightings of the veiled estranged silhouette endlessly navigating Mexican lakes and rivers, wailing, ah, mis hijos. Ah, mis hijos. Or, oh, my children. I definitely felt like fucking Dora Explorer then. Oh, yeah, I'm living for it. Swipe and not fucking swipe, bitch. Hola, what's in the bag? Right, I'm going to stop with all the Dora shit. Like, I fucking love Spanish. I tried to learn it on Duolingo. And granted, I didn't get that far, but I did that shit, like, every day for months, man. Like, I got proper addicted to that. Like, fuck me, I'm trying to think of some Spanish now. Like, El bano está salado. I think that's, like, I don't know why I always remember that. Like, I think it's the bathroom is closed. Fuck yeah. And, what else? ¿Dónde es el supermercado? Where is the fucking supermarket? Bitch, puto madre. Fucking hell, let's just get back to it, shall we? Fuck. So I found the story on the supposed origins of La Llorona, so let's have a look, shall we? And credit and a huge thank you to, I don't even know how to fucking pronounce this, donquixote.org. I'm doing a lot of fucking accents, and if I offend anyone, fuck, I'm sorry. The story of La Llorona begins with a woman named Maria, blessed with natural beauty, who is determined to marry only the most handsome man she meets, shunning any man she sees as unable to match her aesthetically. There are different versions of the narrative, but the most popular states that Maria wooed her potential suitor by appearing aloof and difficult to win over. Yet, once the couple eventually married and she had two children together, the young man's thoughts began to stray, dreaming of his previously wild lifestyles on the prairies. Jesus, that sounds wild. Enjoy those fucking prairies. In some versions, the ranchero is unfaithful to Maria, and in others, she merely resents his emotional indifference in comparison to her attention. Fuck, I fucked that up hard. And in others, she merely resents his emotional indifference in comparison to the attention he continues to bestow upon their children. Her children drown, and many versions of the tale suggest their death was deliberate, or at her own hands, prior to drowning herself. When Maria is refused entry to heaven without her children, she is forced to search the waters for their remains during the afterlife. Oof. Fuck. She's cursed to, like, the fucking limbo or, like, purgatory or some shit to, like, look for the remains of her children. I mean, if she fucking drowned them, she should have a pretty fucking good clue, right? Stupid bitch. In the colonial Mexican version, Maria gives birth to the children of a white Spaniard above her class and murders her offspring as an immediate reaction to his refusal to make her his wife. Whoa. That got fucking dark quick. Naturally, the La Llorona story has been exploited and represented in popular culture and Mexican film throughout the 20th and 21st centuries. The 1960s saw the release of La Llorona, a Mexican film directed by René Cardona, which narrates the experiences of a family haunted by the weeping woman's evil spirit. More recently, in 2013, Universal Studios Theme Park in Orlando, Florida, ran with the theme of La Llorona for one of their several scare zones, used in the annual Halloween Horror Nights, with mazes, films, and chilling entertainment centered around the Mexican legend. Now that sounds fucking cool. Like, yeah, I've never been, like, super fussed about, like, is Universal Land, like, I'm getting confused. That's not, like, fucking Disneyland, right? Even though that's in Florida. I don't fucking know. But Universal Studios, theme park, whatever. That sounds fucking cool, man. Like, yeah, like, I live right by, like, Fort Park, which is, like, the best, like, theme park or whatever you call it, in the UK. And at Halloween, they do these things called Fright Nights for, like, the whole of October, and they're fucking cool. Like, they have, like, horror mazes, scary rides and shit. People dressed up, and, yeah, it's fucking cool, man. Like, definitely recommend if you're in the UK. But, man, doing one, a theme of, like, La Llorona, that sounds pretty fucking cool. Also, at Fort Park, there is a saw ride, I believe, which is, like, a huge fucking, like, you go up high and drop, and then it, like, bends in on itself. Like, fuck that. Like, as much as I like that shit, I'm old, man. That wouldn't do my fucking belly any good. The attraction involved guests entering an abandoned Mexican chapel and attending a funeral for her victims, which created directors at the park looking to transport guests into the mysterious realm. It is evident that La Llorona is more than a horror story on some level. Maria's emotional torment endows her character with a level of vulnerability rarely seen in chilling legends. Beneath the narrative lies an ambiguous message explaining the legend's persistence in popular culture. Maria's fate depicts the inevitability and disastrous conclusion to the shallow priorities and inflated sense of self. Other critics have noted the legend's presentation of machismo, with its focus on female responsibility and male absence. La Llorona also touches upon issues of motherhood, the feminine condition, and the more universal notion of life after death, the reflective choices made while on Earth. In contemporary society, the folklore still has some didactic relevance, not to mention that it remains the perfect story for parents to convince their children to come inside so they'll be safe after dark. I'm glad I'm not the only one, like, threatening my kids with La Llorona. I mean, I don't have any, but when I have kids, you best fucking be ready. La Llorona's fucking coming for you if you are a little shit. Like, oh, can I go see my friends? Oh, yeah, just make sure you're back in time, because La Llorona will fucking eat you. Also, I found some facts about her too, which are pretty interesting. I didn't want to leave these out, because they sound pretty fucking cool. So, depending on which version of the story you follow, La Llorona isn't just a weeping ghost who hangs out by the river, but she's a child kidnapping monster. Fair. Pretty fucking cool. In Mexico, parents use this version of the tale to keep their children from running around at night and getting into trouble. The story goes that if the child is caught by the ghost, she'll ask them for forgiveness and then drown them in the closest... fuck. And drown them in the closest body of water. Well, shit. Looks like she's still hyped on fucking drowning kids. I mean, at least she's got a goal in life, I guess. Fuck. In northwestern Arizona, the story goes that La Llorona was originally a woman named Launa, who lived in Kingman Canyon with her husband and two children. Sadly, she felt that her husband was paying too much attention to their daughters and became increasingly jealous. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, yeah, when you have kids, like, yeah, no shit if you kind of pay more attention to them. Like, they're your kids. Like, that is actually part of you. I'd say kids are equally, or if not more important than your partner, right? Anyway, in a fit of jealous rage, she pushed her girls over the edge of the canyon, plunging them to their deaths. Well, I wonder if there's a nice fact. Let's see, I've got a few to get through. Hopefully, there is. My fucking ear is killing me. After the loss of her children, Launa's husband was so grief-stricken and distrusting of her that he left. I mean, there's like distrusting, and then there's yeeting your kids off a fucking canyon. I don't blame this dude for fucking leaving. Like, she sounds like a psycho, man. Like, fuck, yeet fucking Launa off a cliff, man. She became so despondent, she threw herself off the edge of the canyon to join her children. At least, I don't want to say it's a happy ending, but an apt ending. From thereafter, she was condemned to wander the canyon for eternity, alone and wailing with grief. Legend has it that her cries of despair can be heard echoing among the canyon walls, and her ghostly apparition can be seen floating above the canyon between the hours of midnight and 3 a.m. In some versions of the story, La Llorona wasn't the one to kill her children. One tells the tale of a poor woman and her husband who start having children, but they cannot afford to feed them. The husband's solution... You can tell where this is going. The husband's solution is to drown the children. Jesus. There might be a happy story out of that. I've got faith. I'm an optimist, okay? Another version of La Llorona's story is that she and her husband had a couple of children and lived happily as a family. However, once they had two sons, her husband began having affairs with other women. Distraught over his infidelity, she threw her children into the river. Why, man? Why is it always the kids who get fucking killed? Yeet him in the fucking river. However, once she realized that they had drowned... God, I can't, man. Once she realized they had drowned and died, the gravity of her actions struck her. Like, she threw her kids into a river. I don't know how old these kids are, but... if that river's got a current, they're gonna drown and die. What did you expect to happen? I don't fucking know. I'm not a murderer. Like, do you think it's a good idea when you do it? And then you're like, oh man, that's a bit sad. I wish I didn't kill that fucking child. What the fuck? In her despair, she refused to leave the bank of the river to eat. She grew thinner and gaunt until she looked like a walking skeleton and eventually died on the banks of the river. Imagine that. So you fucking throw your kids into a river and then you just kind of stay by the river for the rest of time and you're like, there, maybe we'll see what happens. And then they might come back, I'll just watch over the river and I just won't eat. You're gonna fucking die. Like, yeah, you're grief stricken, you feel bad, whatever. But why fucking do it in the first place, man? What the fuck? Some claim to have even photographed and captured La Llorona on film. In a security video from Mexico City, a strange ghostly figure in white is seen standing in the middle of an intersection. In the footage recorded at 2:20 a.m. on September the 18th, 2016, the woman in white is seen standing still in the intersection while cars drive directly towards her. Many believe the ghost was that of La Llorona. Now, I'm going to post this link in a bit, well, probably once I've done with this episode, because this looks fucking legit, man. Like, yeah, I know you can edit really well. And, I mean, like I said, I'm an optimist. I just like to believe, right? But it does look pretty fucking cool. I mean, I'd watch that. I mean, I'd say I'd watch it. I've watched that. And I'm like, dude, I've just fucking seen La Llorona. But I will post that if I remember. I probably won't. I'm going to send it to myself right now, actually. Right, I'm back. According to Teresa Finney, a writer for The Hairpin, her mother had a face-to-face encounter with the most famous ghost in Latin culture when she was just a girl. It was late at night and she was on the phone with her boyfriend when she suddenly felt a chill. She said, "All I know is that I tried to run around and see where the cold air was coming from, but I couldn't move. I was frozen. I was laying in bed on my phone and I'm paralyzed. I can't move. That's when I see her. She's in the doorway of my room just staring at me, dressed in all white. I tried to scream, but I'm just paralyzed. When I asked how she knew it was La Llorona, she said, I just knew." One version of the story relates that after La Llorona's children drown, either she drowns them or somebody else drowns them, she drowns herself in the same river where they died to join them in the afterlife. Once she makes it to the gates of heaven, she's barred from entering until she finds the children. Then she starts her journey across eternity, searching in vain for her drowned children. Sad. I mean, we've already heard that, but sad. In Central America and other parts of the world where La Llorona's story is well known, kids play a dark version of hide and seek where the seeker plays La Llorona and calls after the hider screaming, "Donde están mis hijos?" Donde? It is fucking where, see? Which means, where are... Donde están mis hijos? Where are my hijos son? Hija? Isn't hija daughter and hijo son? Hijos? I don't know. Where are my fucking kids? Donde está mis hijo? Puta. La Llorona doesn't just haunt Mexico, though. Her legend is alive and well in most Latin. I see this quite a lot. I thought this was a typo, but apparently it's not. In most Latinx? 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 Latinx. What does that actually mean? If anyone's in the Latinx community, let me know. Including those of Santa Fe, New Mexico. According to southwestern versions of the story, people who don't treat their family well will be paid a visit by the wandering ghost, seen as an unwelcome harbinger of doom. Yeah, I'd probably say she's pretty unwelcome in my house. Unless, you know, if my kids are being little shits, then I might just light up the red candles and summon that bitch. According to Epifano Garcia, one night after he got into an argument with his parents, he and his brothers ran away from home that night. As they rode away, two of the boys sat in the front of the wagon, and when the spirit wearing a black tapilo and a black net over her face appeared on the seat between them, fuck that. She was silent and continued to sit there until Epifano finally turned the horses around and headed back home, at which she said, "I will visit you again someday when you argue with your mother." Fuck that, you never argue with your mum again. I'm glad La Llorona wasn't in my fucking house, I knew. Shit. La Llorona's story has been depicted in many creative ways, including musical adaptations. Oh, there we go. A bit of a light-hearted one, yes. Artists from a huge array of musical genres, including Chavela Vargas, have performed countless songs to revisit and honor the infamous stories so integral to Mexican folklore. La Llorona rings of a similar character in Greek mythology. Lamia, sometimes referred to the devourer of children, fuck. I mean, it's similar, right? I presume she doesn't eat them. Devourer kind of means she's fucking up kids. The myth tells of Lamia, the queen of Libya, having an affair with Zeus. Dude, Zeus is fucking good, nut. The chief deity of the Greek pantheon. After Hera, Zeus's wife finds out about her husband's affair, she takes Lamia's children from her and slays them. Ooh. Oh shit. Brackets here, you know shit's about to get serious when there's fucking brackets. In darker versions, she forces Lamia to eat her own children. Damn, Hera, you're fucking ruthless. Shit. Lamia's grief causes her to turn into a demonic demigod who then walks the earth, exacting revenge by consuming every child she comes across. Alright, well, we had one light-hearted one, now we're on to fucking child-eating demigods. Fuck. I don't remember this in the fucking Disney Hercules. Shit. It's believed the legend of La Llorona may have pre-Hispanic roots, originated from the Aztecs. Prior to the Spanish conquest of Mexico, La Llorona is thought to be one of the 10 omens foretelling of the conquest of Mexico, and has been linked to several ancient Aztec goddesses. Two of these goddesses include... Fuck. Xiaquotl? Xiaquotl, snake woman, described in 16th century Franciscan friars document as a savage beast and an evil omen who appeared in white and would walk at night. Nice, a little fucking rhyme in there. This fucking friars document, he's a poet, man. Weeping and wailing. Wailing? Weeping and wailing. And I'm not even going to fucking pronounce this one, but in English it roughly translates to the Jade Skirted One, a feared goddess of the rivers and water who overturns boats and drowns people. Nice. Including children. Although later on the story has changed and evolved over time, the seeds of the legend may have been planted in ancient Aztec times. Which is pretty fucking cool. The Aztecs are a badass race. Are they a race or an era? I'm not too sure. Fuck. La Llorona is a legendary figure with various incantations, usually translated as the Wailing Woman, but she's often presented as a banshee type. Now, banshees just remind me of like The Witcher or fucking like Miitopia. Like, have you... I presume you've played Miitopia. Like, get it, it's on the Switch, man. You make your Miis, it's like Pokemon, but your Miis are like the Pokemon. It's fucking cool. So good. Anyway, what the fuck am I on about? Right, the Wailing Woman, she's often presented as a banshee type, an apparition of a woman dressed in white, often found by lakes and rivers, sometimes at crossroads. That's pretty cool, because there's a whole superstition about crossroads where you go there at night, dig, put like a picture of yourself. I mean, I'm literally just quoting Supernatural here, but... And Robert Johnson. Just saying, Robert Johnson was the man. And you dig, and then like a demon's meant to appear, and you sell your soul, and you get your heart's desire. Which is pretty cool. Robert Johnson became a fucking legend blues artist and was apparently a nobody before, and suddenly just was like, bam. And then he died, like, suddenly from, like, unknown reasons. I don't really know. I should probably look into it more than just quoting shit. And, like, the fucking hellhounds took him to hell and Satan's got his soul. At least he's got some nice fucking blues music up in hell. Nice. The infanticide is sometimes carried out with a knife or dagger, but very often the children have been drowned. Her crime is usually committed in a fit of madness after having found out about an unfaithful lover or husband who leaves her to marry a woman of higher status. After realizing what she has done, she usually kills herself. Usually. She is often described as a lost soul doomed to wander the earth forever. To some, she's the To some, she's the boogie woman. Now, to some, she's the boogie woman. I fucking said that weird. The bogey woman. Like, with all her the bogey man, it only makes sense as a bogey woman. That's nice. We should kind of, like, hook them up. We stand the bogeys. Used by parents to scare their children into good behavior. Like I said, I'm not just the only bad person. Loads of people have thought about this. The folk story has been represented artistically in various Greek guises. In film, animation, art, poetry, theatre, and in literature, aimed at both adults and children alike. The legend is deeply ingrained in Mexican culture and among the Chicano-Mexican population of the United States. The origins of the legend are uncertain, but it has been presented as having pre-Hispanic roots, like we mentioned earlier with the Aztecs. Also, what the fuck? La Llorona appears in the Cartoon Network series Victor and Valentino. Contrary to the usual depictions, this version of La Llorona is good and simply lonely and claims to have 20 kids who had all grown up and left her, implying she suffers from empty nest syndrome. Right, can we stop making La Llorona seem nice? Because that's fucking crazy, man. But, yeah, and make no mistake, for a good number of the... Now, that's pretty fucking crazy. Like, I also found this interview with The Curse of La Llorona. When they were filming, there was a lot of weird things happening, and you know how it is doing a horror movie. I'm sure it's just, it puts you on edge, and everyone starts freaking out and feeling things, and maybe actors playing tricks on each other and cast and crew, like, who actually knows, but yeah, this is a little excerpt from an interview I found. Also, make no mistake, for a good number of the film's cast and crew, making the film was an experience that recalled chilling childhood memories. Patricia Velasquez, who plays Patricia Alvarez in the film, told Bustle that when she was growing up in Mexico, La Llorona felt quite real. "It's really how our parents make us do what they want us to do," she said. Fuck. A sample threat. Make sure to come home at 5, otherwise La Llorona is going to come and get you. Fucking hell. Like, I just said this as a joke. I didn't realize this is like actually happens. It didn't help that as Chaves told the Los Angeles Times, there were some really creepy and supernatural occurrences on the set. Over half the crew does believe that the house we shot in was actually haunted, and there may have been something more to that, Chaves said. Velasquez also added, I think La Llorona was there just making sure we were doing right by her. I mean, were there any kids on set? Did she have to fucking, like, backhand any of these kids? I don't fucking know. Also, again, what the fuck, in Santa Fe, New Mexico, the tall wailing spirit... Oh, she's tall. That's a new fact. Didn't know she was tall. There we go. Apparently she floats, which is pretty cool. The tall wailing spirit has been seen repeatedly in the Pira building, which is Public Employees Retirement Association. Oh, man, that's sad. Like, is that like a retirement home? Like, these guys are old, man, and they're going to see, like, floating ghost women. That's going to shit them right. They're going to have, like, a fucking heart attack. Fuck. That's sad. Anyway, moving on. Which is built on lands that was once old Spanish Indian graveyard. Dude, never build on a fucking graveyard. Like, we've seen horror films. We know shit doesn't end well. And is near the Santa Fe River. Oh, there we go. And it's linked to water. Like, this is all the fucking ticks. Fucking all the boxes fucking ticks right here. Many people who have been employed there tell or say... Many people who have been employed there tell of hearing cries resounding through the halls and feeling unseen hands pushing them while on stairways. Bit harsh. Bit rude. La Llorona has been heard at night wailing next to rivers by many, and her wanderings have grown wider, following Hispanic people wherever they are. I mean, kind of racist. Why just Hispanics? I'm just saying. Maybe I want to get haunted by La Llorona. Actually, I'll fucking take that back. Please don't. There's enough fucking going on in my life right now, let alone a fucking haunted. Her movements have been traced throughout the Southwest and as far north as Montana on the banks of the Yellowstone River. The Hispanic people believe that the Weeping Woman would always be there with them, following the many rivers looking for her children. And for this reason, many of them fear the dark and pass the legend from generation to generation. So, I'm back, basically. England were just playing in the quarterfinals against Ukraine, and I was recording this episode, and yeah, I got like halfway through, and the match, I realised that it was like 15 minutes late, and there was already a goal, and yeah, I was losing my fucking mind, so I paused, watched the match, we won 4-0, and I'm fucking buzzing. Like, I'm not really big on football, but I like international games, because it really brings like the country together, you know, like, it's, you get a nice feeling. But anyway, let's get back to the story, because I found some first-hand encounters that I just couldn't skip, so I hope you guys enjoy them. They're only short, but they're pretty cool nonetheless. So this one is by Joe Espinosa, coming from Mexico. Before I tell you this story, I will tell you who this weeping woman is. In Mexico, it's very common to hear about this person. The woman killed her kids many years ago. She drowned them because of depression due to the fact her husband cheated on her. So again, this is just one side of the story, because, like I said, there's many accounts of what actually happened. Since then, she's been heard throughout Mexico. She cries walking on empty streets asking for her kids. I really didn't believe she existed. It was around 2:30 a.m, and I was doing my college homework in the living room, when all of a sudden I heard this scream from my gate. It was like crying and screaming at the same time. But the scream was like an echo. Before hearing this, everything was so quiet, you couldn't even hear the crickets. When I heard it, I instantly got goosebumps. I was so scared. I tried standing up, but I couldn't for a couple of seconds. My heart was beating. This type of scream was like from The Conjuring 2, whenever the nun would come out. That's how I heard it. After some seconds, I was able to move little by little. As soon as I was able to move, I ran from my room just to cover myself with a blanket. The impenetrable blanket force. The impenetrable blanket. Early in the morning, I told my family about my experience, and they told me, don't stay up so late next time. Wow, good advice. A few weeks later, my brother told me that he had heard her. He was taking a shower at 2 a.m. Who takes a shower at 2 a.m? Like, Everyone would be pissed off if I started running in the shower at 2 a.m. When all of a sudden he heard her really close. He heard her 3 times. He got goosebumps and got out of the shower right away. People say that if you hear her close, it means that she's actually far. And if you hear her far away, it means she's very close. Okay, that's a weird concept. I wonder what the actual reason for that is. She's been heard throughout Mexico and in some states, especially those who live by a river and in a small village. Those who stay up very late on a quiet night might hear from her. But I don't want to hear her again. Never again. I mean, pretty cool. The top comment is, fuck. Literally, I stopped recording for a bit and now I can't pronounce La Llorona. I believe that La Llorona is real. A cougar can make cries of a woman or child screaming and also whistle to get your attention. I didn't know that. That's pretty fucking weird. Cougars, watch out, man. Cougars are dangerous. So this one is in California. It was the weekend after Thanksgiving, Saturday, around 3 a.m. 2011. My sister and I were watching movies on Netflix, enjoying our days off due to the holidays. Everyone was sleeping because, after all, it was very early in the morning. All of a sudden, we began to hear a moan / crying coming from a woman. It was very loud and terrifying. It sounded ugly, like a woman was in pain or despair. It went on for about 20 seconds and then it stopped for another 10 to 15 seconds. Then it came back, even louder. I told my sister to grab the phone and be ready to call the police, because I thought a woman was being raped or being assaulted near our house. I stepped outside, scared, to see if I could prevent a crime. In hindsight, I really shouldn't have done this. It could have been very dangerous. When I got to the front of my house, there was no one outside, yet the crying was literally in front of me. It was a foggy night too. My sister came out and the crying lasted for about 2 minutes. We were puzzled and we looked at each other, and we both got chills thinking the same thing. I don't want to come to any conclusions. I'm Hispanic and grew up with the legend of La Llorona. Many people in the Hispanic community swear that the malevolent spirit does exist, and they say they have heard the cries in their native countries and in the Southern California. Could it have been a prank by some local teenagers? Yes. Maybe, but it doesn't explain why I could hear a woman moaning literally 20 feet from me, when there's not a soul outside at 3 in the morning. I am convinced I heard La Llorona in Long Beach, California. I feel like I'm being very dramatic with the pauses and punctuations. I don't know why, maybe I'm overthinking this. Right. So next one is in Mexico by Nelly. This story goes way back before I was born. My uncle told us a story one Christmas day when I was like 7 years old. He told us that he and his work friends went to a bar to relax after a hard day at work. He saw the scariest thing in his entire life. All his friends went home before him and he stayed to drink more. It was already passing midnight and he had to walk home. It was dark. And it was a long way. When he got near the ravine, he saw a lady in white weeping and crying. Isn't that the same thing? Looking down, standing at the edge of the ravine. He asked, "Are you okay? Be careful, you're gonna fall." But no words came out of her. My uncle described her, saying she was wearing a long white dress and she had no feet, actually like she was floating in the air. He could only see her back, and after a few seconds my uncle felt really bad and he started backing up. Her weeping became louder and louder. Then she turned around and my uncle screamed. Her face was indescribable and she had horse legs. What? She was part human and part animal. After that, he never walked alone at midnight around the ravine. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty good advice. He said that at night he could hear her weeping soft in the air and he still gets chills down his spine. People say that when you hear the weeping lady far away, she's right outside your house or near you. And when you hear her really close and loud, it's because she's far away. Again, with that whole far away thing. That's really interesting. I'd like to actually look that up a bit more because that's really weird. There's two separate accounts by completely different people. And I didn't come across that in any of the research, so again, interesting fact there. This is quite a bit longer, so it will probably be our last story. Let me look at the time. Yeah, it'll be the last story we've got. But it's a good one, so I'll read it out anyway. So, this story is coming out of Texas. My mum is a first-generation American. Her parents moved from... Is that Chihuahua? Her parents moved from Chihuahua, Mexico, to El Paso, Texas, before she was born. Is Chihuahua actually a place? Is that where the dog's from? Amazing, you learn something new every day. The supernatural was very prevalent in both sides of her family. My grandfather claims that we are descended from the Apache warlord Victorio, and that the spirits of Victorio appeared to him and his brothers when he was a young man. My mum has had many experiences with ghosts and spirits, but she said that none were as terrifying as her experience with La Llorona. Her family lived in a decent-sized house on the banks of a canal, next water, just say, on the south side of El Paso. At the time, the family had three dogs. My mum describes all of them as the toughest dogs on the block. Nice, you'll need it. Especially against a fucking undead child-killing bitch. Please don't come for me. One night in the dead of winter, my grandfather was telling my mum about many great stories. When there was a loud commotion in the front yard where the dogs were, my dogs were barking to wake the dead. It sounds like they probably did a good job. I think they woke the dead. Fuck. Hindsight, maybe the toughest dogs with the loudest barks who wake the dead isn't really a good thing. My mum and her dad went outside into the front to see what was going on. They were joined by my grandmother. They had not noticed this before, but a fog was slowly creeping around the street. The air was chill, but different from the cold of winter. The cold went down to the very bone. The three dogs were barking towards the fog, or more accurately, towards the canal that was by the house. Oh boy. Suddenly, a blood-curdling scream pierced the night air. My mum described it as the most terrifying cry she's heard in her entire life. She says that it lasted a full minute before finally dissipating. A minute-long scream, that's some serious fucking lungs. That's like some Chester Bennington lungs, man. Good on you, La Llorona. When the scream left, the fog lifted and the dogs returned to the way they were before. My mum asked her dad what the scream was, but all he said was La Llorona, and told her to go to bed. Naturally, she couldn't sleep, but instead listened to her parents debate over whether or not to call the cops and report a murder or something. So, again, if they heard it near, she was actually far away, right, if we're going with the whole concept of what we mentioned earlier, which seems to be a common theme, so maybe don't worry about it. But good for your parents for thinking to call the cops because to report a murder, because if she is taking children, they might have a chance. Who knows? I don't know. In the morning when it was light out, my grandfather went down to the canal, but unsurprisingly found nothing. When he came back and told my mum the legend of the woman who drowned her own children and is now fated to cry out for them on the banks of river where she killed them. And to this day, my mum is convinced that she heard La Llorona so many years ago. Another close associate of mine who has had a close encounter with La Llorona is a former karate instructor and confirmation class teacher. He is Irish and a devout Catholic, but firmly believes in the existence of ghosts and the paranormal. I mean, isn't that kind of counter-Catholic? Like, all spirits and everything like that kind of goes against general Catholicism. Just saying this as a non-practicing Catholic. When he was a teenager, he lived in New Mexico, close to the borders with Texas and Mexico. Like any good teenager looking for a rush, he liked to ride around with his brothers after dark and watch for ghosts in the old graveyards. Fair, never done that. Probably would though. If I had friends. One night, he and his brothers managed to convince a couple of girls they were sweet on to come along. They were sitting in their car in the middle of the desert when a deep fog started settling in. Again with the fog. They were unsettled and decided to leave the car, but it wouldn't start. Suddenly, he says that everything went completely and utterly pitch black, like someone had thrown a tarp over the car. My friend flipped, but his brothers were frozen in their seats, unable to move a muscle. He yelled, but they still didn't move. He reached over and managed to finally start the car. He was 15 and didn't even have a license, but he drove out of there like a bat out of hell. Can you say that if he was a Catholic? Again, blasphemy. I'm just nitpicking. Like, my defense when I'm scared is to make jokes out of shit. Hence why I probably shouldn't do this show. Like, if I was ever in an encounter, I'd probably take the piss out of the ghost. I will be the first to die in a horror movie. Trust me. When his heart finally stopped racing, he stopped the car. He turned to his brother and asked what the hell happened back there again with the blasphemy, just saying. His brother, with a face still white, asked him incredulously, "Jim, did you not see her?" He shook his head no and asked his brother what he was talking about. His brother told him that when everything had gone black, a strange translucent white woman appeared outside the car. She looked like a wicked witch. She reached her hand into the car, through a closed window, and for Jim's neck, but stopped and drew back when she touched it. She then disappeared as soon as the car was started. Jim reached up to his neck and fingered the St. Michael medal he always wore. He firmly believed that the archangel responsible for defeating Satan protected him on that night. Whether the spirit was a demon, La Llorona was a frightful spectre and does not matter. Jim is firmly convinced it was La Llorona that stopped him from whatever evil she intended. And he never stops praying to St. Michael. Fair dude, I'd say it definitely kind of protected you there. Any kind of belief in something religious, whether you believe in religion or not, this is just general speculation here. But any kind of belief and intention, the more you believe and the more your intent, the stronger the protection is going to be, right? Just surely out of... Yeah. I don't even know what I'm trying to say here. But you kind of get the gist of it. Purely off of intent, like if you believe in something enough, I can't think of the actual word. If you believe in something enough, you almost kind of manifest it yourself. So if you believe you're protected in some kind of sense, it may even be something along those lines. But anyway, let me look at the time. Yeah, we're coming up to the 50-minute mark. Our episodes are definitely getting longer, which I didn't even plan for. So I hope you guys are enjoying them. But this is going to be the end of this episode. I hope you guys have really enjoyed this. I've actually really enjoyed looking at La Llorona and learning how to actually pronounce it, because I've said it so many fucking times in this episode. So, to any Latin or Hispanic listeners, I hope I haven't butchered any of those fucking sayings, and my Dora the Explorer impressions probably insulted a fucking lot of you. But I hope you have enjoyed it, and like I said at the beginning of each episode, if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts, I would greatly appreciate it. And again, like I said, we have a YouTube page now, which I'm uploading like the backlog of episodes, and want to do some little specials exclusively just for YouTube. So if you want to subscribe and check that out, that would be great. On my Instagram bio, there is a link tree which directs you to everything you need to do. So if you could do that, that would be amazing. But as always, I've been Lou. Stay safe, stay spooky, and good night.